Hi, I'm Nick Gregoriadis, and this is the Jiu-Jitsu Brotherhood Podcast, the show for grapplers and martial artists that want to evolve both on and off the mat. Hey everyone, we're on episode 5 of the Jiu-Jitsu Brotherhood Podcast. About 6 years ago, a guy called Paul Moran contacted me and asked if I'd be a guest on his show, which is called Open Mat Radio. It's a grappling and jiu-jitsu specific podcast. It's one of the oldest ones and, in my opinion, one of the best ones. And I agreed. We did a good show. It was received well. At the time, I was doing another show called London Real, which became quite popular. And after a couple of years, I left London Real and I was looking to get involved in podcasting again. And Paul got in touch with me and we created a show together, which was called The Journey. That was a very intense and fulfilling project. And I had a lot of fun working on it. We came to the end of that and Paul and I went our separate ways. Paul had a bunch of health issues that he had to deal with. And unfortunately, he couldn't continue with the show. And I went off and started another show called Digital Communion. So the person that I'm about to interview, I wouldn't be doing this show if it wasn't for him. So it's really great for me to have him on. We haven't spoken to each other in a podcast format for, I'd say, almost 2 years. So this is somewhat of a reunion. And he is someone who has deep insight into jiu-jitsu. And he's traveled a much more difficult road through life and jiu-jitsu than most of us could ever possibly appreciate. And he's got a lot of cool stuff to share. So I hope you enjoy episode 5 of the Jiu-Jitsu Brotherhood Podcast. Okay, guys, welcome back to the Jiu-Jitsu Brotherhood Podcast. Today's a special day. I'm chatting with, I like to consider, one of the people who started my career in podcasting. He's been a friend of mine for a long time. We've worked together on a project which was called the Journey Podcast, which is something that was very close to my heart, and I think we both put our hearts and souls into that show. And he has another podcast of his own called Open Mat Radio, which is, in my opinion, one of the best jiu-jitsu lifestyle shows. Unfortunately, he has been busy with a bunch of other things and had some health issues, and so he's had to put that on the back burner. But it's never reduced his love for jiu-jitsu, and he still stayed connected with the art and the community. And today I'm very pleased and proud to welcome my good friend, Paul Moran. Paul, my man, it's so good to have you on.
It's a heck of an intro. I'm hopeful that I earned most of it at least. Yeah, it's good to be back, man. It's been a long time coming, and I'm excited. Yeah.
Yeah, it's cool. So you're in Las Vegas at the moment.
I am. I live in Las Vegas. I was born in Buffalo, New York, Western New York, and then I moved out here probably 10, 12 years ago and have been in Vegas. Partially, don't tell my wife, but part of the reason I moved here was because the jiu-jitsu scene was a lot stronger than pretty much anywhere in the country other than maybe Southern California, arguably New York City, but I'm not a city guy. So yeah, that was part of the reason I came out here. Was jiu-jitsu in the first place.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What is the thing that attracted you to jiu-jitsu? Because if I'm honest, all things considered, if I had just met you and we had had a conversation and you'd never mentioned that you were involved in jiu-jitsu, I would never peg you as a jiu-jitsu guy. You just right. You seem more of a kind of like an arts kind of media kind of guy. You can say nerd, Nick.
It's all right.
I don't even know if nerd's the right word, but you don't have any of that like machismo sort of tough guy kind of vibe that most jiu-jitsu guys have. A little bit of it. I don't get any of that with you.
Sure. I think a couple things. I was very heavy into lacrosse when I was growing up, and I have just a very deep addictive personality, so whatever I get into, I tend to get into very deeply. And I blew my knee out twice my freshman year. So I had blown it out completely, ACL, MCL, meniscus, all that. Rehabbed it, came back, blew it out just completely. I think my first game back. And then had about 4 years that I didn't have an ACL, so I couldn't do any sports that involved running or cutting. As a kind of misspent youth, running from the police on a leg with one bad knee is never good. So you learn to hide a little bit here and there. But so ultimately, I kind of went down a bad spiral of just getting into, the culture in Buffalo is heavy drinking, heavy, eating, heavy partying. And that's what we were doing. And I decided I needed to stop all that. And luckily I found a Krav Maga class, which actually led to me getting surgery. That was my last step, as I blew my knee out one last time there. After 4 years of doing not much of anything, I had tried hoping that my ACL just magically grew back or something, and finally wrecked it there, had the surgery. When it was rehabbed, found a jiu-jitsu class that just happened to be coming up in Buffalo by a purple belt, and that's kind of how it all started. Why I chose jiu-jitsu is a lot of different reasons. I think from a philosophical point of view, I don't find striking to really be in my nature. I'm a nonviolent person. I believe in nonviolence, and I think jiu-jitsu just fits me perfectly because I'm a small guy, and I've been able to control people way bigger than me without hurting them, and letting them kind of calm down and let, their emotions kind of relax so you can talk to them on a more cognitive level and avoid violence in any way. You can't lightly knock someone out, but you can lightly choke someone or manipulate their arm or just control them on the ground even. And then just the other element of, not having to run as traditional sports do. It's just easier on my knees. I've since wrecked my knees and had a couple of surgeries since, from jiu-jitsu. But overall, it's much easier on me to do some sparring and jiu-jitsu than it was to play like a full lacrosse game. I also have a part of my back is broken, so that was always kind of a funny thing to make long sustained running sports just really bad. So a lot of injuries kind of plagued it, and then just philosophically, just being more nonviolent, I think, is where I went with jiu-jitsu.
Yeah. So, I mean, what I get from the information you just shared is, I mean, I know you're going through a bit of a health issue at the moment, and you have been for a couple of years, but I had no idea that you had a broken back and that your knees are taking that strain as well.
Yeah, that was all pre-jiu-jitsu. So.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess for me, the thing is that I keep thinking when you come to mind is that you, when it comes to the physical, you've been played a very tough hand of cards, or you've been dealt a tough hand of cards. And I mean, Paul, the reason I wanted you on the show is someone once asked me who's the kind of person I admire, or who's the person I admire most in jiu-jitsu. And I thought to myself, it's that guy who keeps coming even when it's not easy. Even when he's got like a long day at work and he's got three kids and he's exhausted and he just wants to go home and sit on the couch and drink a beer and watch the game. But he still pushes himself and gets to the mat, academy, gets on the mat. It's not the like superstars anymore. It's that guy.
Yeah.
And to me, you're like that guy squared, right? That would be an easy thing for you to, if you're in that situation, going to jiu-jitsu would be easy for you. It would be infinitely easier than the situation you're in now. And I guess the main reason I wanted you on the show is just for perspective. I think that you can help bring perspective to a lot of people and help them see that they should not take a single day that they have the opportunity to go and train for granted. I have a friend who's 30 years old. Shout out to Chris. Chris is a very good guy, very smart guy. He loves jiu-jitsu, got his blue belt, and then he kind of just fell off the wagon, and he's wanting to get back into it, but he's kind of hesitant, and he knows he's going to have to take his beatings when he comes back, and he's rusty, and he's making a bunch of excuses. And I guess what I would love is for you to be able to, through this show, give people like Chris wisdom, or enough wisdom, or the right perspective that gets them to get off their asses and get back into jiu-jitsu and not take it for granted.
Well, I can at least offer what's worked for me, not to say that that's the right way or a better way or the way that'll fit everyone else, but I can at least share what I've been through. So I guess, you and I jump off because we've got such a history amongst the, two different shows we've done and then just our friendship outside. So I guess just to recap for some other people that might not know my story so much, just give me a couple minutes and I'll just run down that just for frame of reference, I think. So when I was on my wife's birthday 5 years ago, I got diagnosed with rectal cancer. And that metastasized to my liver. I had the first surgery. I had the rectal tumor removed. I was put on an ileostomy bag temporarily. And in the recovery from that surgery, they found that it had spread to my liver. They hadn't bothered to read the PET scan before that, so that's a whole other issue. So then I went right back into chemo. So I just finished radiation surgery with chemo beforehand, and then I went chemo after, had another surgery, and then more chemo, and then it came back. So I've had overall 3 liver resections. You've seen me out of the hospital. You've been in the hospital with me at UCLA. I've also had it spread to my lung and my lymph nodes. So right now I'm on a maintenance form of chemotherapy, which is a lot of pills. I had a port in the past, which was like an implant in my chest, but I had 2 different ones and they kept getting infected. And I lived for about a year with PICC lines in and on IV antibiotics. My wife having to pull over when we drive out to Cali for tournaments and stuff to watch, and have to do my IVs like roadside. But yeah, it's been pretty crazy. So through all of that, I've been able to get my brown belt under Sergio Pena. And then this past year, just with a lot of the complications and side effects from the chemo and the different treatment, training's been shifted and it's been a lot harder for me to hit the mats. So I've shifted my focus a lot to more coaching and analysis. And then with Open Mat Radio, that was basically a project that I started to stay connected to the sport and show people that while the spotlight in the media tends to be on the podium, which is an important thing and an important aspect of our sport, it's not the only one. And I think that it's also a very small one. So if you walk into the average academy, you're not likely to find, Hodger walking around. You're likely to find an accountant, like you said, that was, rushing from work, that's got 3 kids, or, a college student that's trying to balance out his wrestling, or, a mom, or I work with a police officer who, she got handled in the street and didn't like it, so she's learning jiu-jitsu to help out with that. So, I mean, that's, to me, what the community really is not the competitors. I think from the analysis that I've done with a few other people kind of informally is that probably 10 to 20% of the actual jiu-jitsu community competes and competes regularly at a high level. So, we're looking at a vast majority of people that are not those people and are more the hobbyists. And I think that if it were not for jiu-jitsu, I'd be dead right now. It was after going to the Ultimate Absolute 2 in New York City with my partners, Raph and Richard, to record some podcasts and stuff, that's when I first really noticed that I was having issues with the cancer. And I didn't know what it was at the time, and they just pointed out to me, hey, you're going to the bathroom a lot, you're always looking for a bathroom as soon as you get to his place. In between roles, you're always running, and it creeps up on you. It's something that we easily deny. I think one bad thing about jiu-jitsu is that we get really used to suffering, and we kind of ignore pains and fight through them, and sometimes we need to be more mindful of our body. But that's ultimately what led me to go get – it was basically fucking with my sparring, more or less. So that's why I went and got checked out. And then basically, if it weren't for Sergio Pena and Patty, who's my meditation teacher, from the she was at a place called the Caring Place here in Las Vegas, and has since moved. If it weren't for the two of them, I don't know psychologically or spiritually if I'd be able to get through the past 5 years. And I can definitely say when I started this, for me to be sitting here saying spiritually would not have happened at all. So I think that's a big dimension that we kind of ignore, but can be infused into jiu-jitsu as well. But yeah, really, the whole Just Another Lion to Kill story and everything, that basically came out of Sergio Pena's struggle coming up in Brazil under Osvaldo Alves. Guys would send competitors at Sergio, and as a kid, he'd get beat up by adults, but he always faced each one as Just Another Lion to Kill was his phrase. So no matter how many people they sent to train against him, he faced each one independently, forgot about the one that he just beat or the one he has to face after, treated everyone with the respect of a lion, but then killed them. And that's what I've tried to bring to every session of chemo and radiation and surgery and ache and pain and all that. And then just use the principles of jiu-jitsu, you know, efficiency and intelligence over strength and just brute force to deal with problems. And I've infused that to pretty much everything in my life, that and mindfulness. So that's just a big kind of scoop of kind of who I am in a really fast history. 5 years. If you dig up the old Journey podcast, you'll find more of that.
Yeah, you know, Paul, thank you for sharing that and being so blunt. And I know it's not easy for you to do it because you've lived it for so long, and it's not fun or exciting for you to talk about that kind of stuff. But I think it is probably important that people understand just where you're coming from. And I wanted to ask you, you know, what is your best jiu-jitsu memory? And it could be from during this last difficult 5 years or from another time, but what is the point where you realize, okay, this is going to be part of my life forever?
Wow. I mean, it would be impossible to go through all the different memories. I mean, on the mat stuff, just some of the guys that I've gotten to cross paths with. I mean, our friendship grew out of jiu-jitsu. I've got so many friends that if it weren't for jiu-jitsu, I would never have met them. So that just goes way beyond an easy mention. I think one of the defining things for me, and I've talked about it a little bit, is more towards the end of my probably peak of my training. And I was laying in bed after a double training session at Sergio's, and I had ice packs on like three different limbs, and everything was just sore and hurting. And I was just questioning myself, like, all right, we always say I'm training, but I'm not much of a competitor. So what the hell am I training for? I don't fight people in the street. You know, I'm not going to, you know, fight anybody in MMA or anything like that. You know, I thought about taking fights here and there just for personal reasons, but you know, that's not really my motivation. So what the hell am I training for? Well, 2 weeks later is when I got my diagnosis, and it's like, oh, all right. That's what this training has been for. It's been a fight that I've never thought I'd have to fight. So I think probably my greatest moment, man, it sounds super ego serving, but when you're fighting cancer, you kind of need some of those boosts. But it was when Sergio Pena, my coach, called me a fighter for the first time.
Wow. Okay. That's powerful, especially coming from a guy like that. Yeah. You know, there's a... You know, Legato, Lucid Rodriguez. Yeah. Legato, obviously, as you know, he also had a battle with cancer that he eventually overcame. And I remember we were on the mats. It was a small group. I think it was me and a training partner, and Legato and one other training partner, and we were all sparring. I was sparring with this other guy, and the bell rung, and we were taking a break. We were all like, you know, that few moments right after the roll when you're just like, just heaving a little bit, you're a little bit wired. And I looked over, and Legato was kneeling down, and he was like looking at his hands and his forearms, and he was kind of like flexing them almost. And he just said, you know, guys, to feel the health and strength of your body is such a blessing. It's such a blessing that I didn't understand before. And my biggest hope for you, Paul, is that one day you can have a similar experience on the mat. And I hope your jiu-jitsu memory, your best jiu-jitsu memory, is something as close to that as possible, where you can just feel health again and pour that health into your jiu-jitsu. I really hope that for you, my brother. I really do.
Yeah. I thank you. And I do too. And it's funny. I was talking to my friend, Adisa from the Hip Hop Chess Federation the other day, and we're both getting older, and we were talking about kind of how we have to shift, our approach to jiu-jitsu. That, you know, he came up under under Gumby and Half Gracie kind of team. So old school, very, you know, hard nose, just go, go, go. And I, you know, started under a Carlson team and then under Sergio. It's a very similar kind of warrior ethos. But, you know, we're not 25 with all intact limbs anymore. So the battle is not to reach the podium for me at a world-class level. My battle is, how can I put as many hours on the mat as possible without, you know, injuring myself? And how do I suck up every bit of joy out of stepping onto the mats when I'm able to? So people always ask me when I pop up in the academy, because I haven't been able to train regularly. Oh, Paul, how's it going? You know, how are you doing? And it's like, my response every time is, hey, every day on this side of the mats is better than underneath them.
Yeah.
And yeah. Regardless of whether I'm in my peak training, or I can do cartwheel passes and flying shit that I used to love to do, or I teach a white belt how to sit in appropriate posture, I just had to shift where I get my, I guess, pleasure and joy in jiu-jitsu. And it's not taking that black belt's arm anymore. It's teaching somebody how to stand properly, or cornering, or getting the honor, honestly, to honor. It's an honor for me to be asked to be in corners of people I really respect, my teammates, and even guys from outside of my team. And I've been in a lot of really good corners, man. I've been lucky to be in the corner of, you know, I was there for you for Masters Worlds a while ago.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. Yeah.
Gary Tonin, Ryan Hall, Bernardo Faria, Elliot Kelly, like all these guys have been huge influences on me. And that's where I've gotten, you know, my strength in jiu-jitsu has been in learning and coaching and collaborating, and not so much competing. So, and also seeing events and brands and stuff blow up. I cannot stress enough how important it is to help the grassroots. And there are big companies like Reebok that are going to come in and jack things up. So support Jiu-Jitsu Brotherhood, support, you know, Want vs. Need and OTM and Scramble and Mirkatsu and all those guys, because that's what our community is. You know, so let's just grow the pie, bring people to the mats, bring people to these brands, and let's just grow this. Jiu-jitsu has changed so many lives. I don't know why we don't do a better job sharing it with people that we care about.
I think it is getting better, though. I think the community is knitting together a lot more than it used to be, just by virtue of the fact that it's getting bigger. And, yeah. you know, the nature of modern life is to be connected to people in some way or another online. And I think that is fueling its growth. And I think that's a very cool thing. It's what allows us to be friends, and it's what allows us to talk to each other, even though I haven't seen you for 2 years or however long it's been. You know, I wanted to ask you, just to direct the conversation away to something slightly different. I know you still have a very active, you have your finger on the pulse of the community and the competition circuit as well. And our guest next week, it's looking like it's going to be Roger Gracie. And yeah, you guys, most of you listening will know that Roger's got the big match against Bushesha coming up. So I wanted to ask you your opinion of who's going to win that match and why.
Ah, wow. Yeah, I think that, you know, a few years ago, I think it would have been more of an even draw. I don't think you can split time anymore between MMA and jiu-jitsu. Things have gotten too specialized to kind of split focus between the two. What I also think I've been fortunate to be in the room with both of these guys. And the amazing thing about Hodger that I don't think people can really, I mean, you know this because you've rolled with him, but I don't think can be appreciated just from viewing, is his strength of constriction. Like when he gets his hands on you, man, that is where you're in trouble. Compare that to Bushesha, who's just like a thousand small explosions, you know. I think his threat is the explosive ability and just that speed that I don't know if Hodger's, you know, if Hodger can catch him and wrap him up, sure, he's going to be able to play his game. But I don't know if that's going to be possible. I think Bushesha is just at the top of his game. Now, if we had rewound the clock and gone back to the year that Hodger cross-choked, I think it was 9 in a row or something, and put that Hodger up against this Bushesha, different story, but you know that's impossible. So I think the Hodger we have today versus the Bushesha we have today, I'd have to lean towards Bushesha.
It's a very interesting one for me as well. I appreciate your insight.
Yeah, so how are you?
How do I feel about it? It's difficult. It's difficult. You know, someone said to me, I was recently on a tour of Ireland, and the Irish are such cool people. They've got such crazy sayings. And I was talking to this one coach. He's the same age as me, 37. And I was watching two younger guys roll. And I just said to him, yeah, dude, these kids, man. I remember what it was like to be like that. And he just said to me, yeah, they're made of rubber and magic. And that what he said just struck a chord with me, rubber and magic. And the thing is, Bushesha is, I think, what is he, 26, 27? Like,
yeah,
something like that. He's peak rubber and magic time, you know? And it's a big ask of anyone. Like, Bushesha is a big ask of anyone because he is the complete package. You know, he's got all the attributes. He's technical, he's explosive, he's seasoned. He's got the eye of the tiger, or he knows how to go for the kill. So it's a big ask for anyone, especially a 35-year-old man,
yeah,
which Roger is. But I will say, if there's any 35-year-old man that can do it, it's Roger. If there's any guy that age who can beat Bushesha, I would say Roger is the only one. Mm. You know, I remember chatting to Roger a long time ago about his fight with Jacare, the one in which he broke his arm. And he said to me, you know, Jacare's not even that technical. Yeah. And I said, like, I didn't know what to say. I was like, wow, really? Not that technical? Like, this, he's one of the best fighters in the world. And like, are you sure? And he's like, nah, he's not that technical. And as the years passed and I got to know Roger better and I watched him train and I kind of understood how he uses jiu-jitsu, I realized that that's true. In comparison to Roger, Jacare isn't actually that technical. He's just an explosive, athletic dude. You know, obviously, I'm not saying he's a crappy jiu-jitsu player by any stretch, but compared to Roger, it's just not the same league of jiu-jitsu understanding.
Well, think about it this way as well. So Hodger might be able to pull out a Swiss Army knife and be able to show you 75 different guards and 1,000 techniques, you know, without blinking. Jacare may not have the same amount of blades, but he's got one big ass knife.
Yeah.
And it, you know, you're going to get cut either way. So if he can swing that big knife faster than Hodger can pull out all the right, you know, blades, then that things get even. So sometimes I think if you sharpen one blade strong enough, and that's what we're seeing, is these intense specialization people in jiu-jitsu versus the old school broad game. We're seeing less and less of the Hodgers, Galvaos that can play anywhere and more of the, I'm a Barambolo guy, I'm a leg lock guy, I'm a sub only guy. And it's just, it's narrowing to that.
Yeah.
You know, jiu-jitsu versus jiu-jitsu versus jiu-jitsu.
I prefer the all-round, well-rounded jiu-jitsu athlete style, but you're right, it is specialization for the competition arena is definitely preferable, especially in this modern age. You know, a thought just came to me, probably because you mentioned the just another lion to kill thing mm-hmm. earlier, and that is that it literally, we are seeing, someone said to me the other day, he said, if Roger beats Boshesha, his legend is cemented forever, right? Oh. That's it. But if Boshesha beats Roger, he becomes the new legend. And I realized that what we are going to watch on whatever that date is, I can't remember what it is, but we are watching the older lion fighting the younger lion. You know, like when you watch those National Geographic shows, and it's the new young lion comes into challenge for the leadership of the pride. It's mm-hmm. sometimes the older lion beats him and fights him off, and the younger lion like has to run away with his tail between his legs. But sometimes the younger lion wins and takes over, and we are literally seeing that in the world of competitive jiu-jitsu. It's very exciting. Like right before our eyes, we are about to see either as I said, the cementing of one legend or the creation of a new one. It's so, so exciting. I cannot wait for that match.
Yeah, and I think their medal cabinets both, you know, are going to cement them in the annals of history. But the face-to-face, you know, them being on the same mat is going to be amazing. And then, you think that what could have been, like Jacare, as a black belt, only competed 2 years. You know, what if he had stayed in the sport longer? Mm-hmm. What if Shanji or Marcelo hadn't messed around with MMA a little bit? Like, what could those rivalries have been? But what we have now is you're right, a changing of the guard, an amazing one at that. Somebody that you might want to talk to about this, who I've chatted a bit with actually just recently, is Ali Geddes, who is one of the most insightful minds in jiu-jitsu overall, and has one of the best approaches or analysis of the competitions.
Yeah, Ali's actually queued up as a guest. He's on my list of upcoming guests. I have to, he doesn't know that yet, but I'm going to message him later in the week. He's I call Ali the half guard savant, because when he started jiu-jitsu, he basically locked himself in a room for 2 years studying the half guard, and then what emerged was this kind of like autistic half guard supercomputer android that could pretty much sweep or tap almost anyone from that position. It's one of my,
I think that should be on the back of the next DVD.
Yeah, he's a good kid, Ali. I'll definitely have him on the show. What else are you finding interesting in the jiu-jitsu world or the jiu-jitsu community at the moment, Paul?
I think it's easy to stick with the competition and you know, talk about the sub-only movement versus the value of having points. I get more concerned with losing techniques that white belts are coming to the mat and are focusing on high-level sport technique, which is great, but then losing the fundamentals. But that has kind of been beaten down. The thing that's really exciting to me, honestly, the most exciting thing, is away from the competition. And it is guys like Elliot Kelly, John Thomas, Adisa Banjoku, and all these guys that are using jiu-jitsu to really reach out to their communities and actually use it as a means of change and actually like creating something other than just stacking up medals. So doing things like open mats for charity, like Tap Cancer Out, doing Tap Cancer Out as a tournament. If you can't pay or don't want to, or you know, are unable to fund yourself, if you fundraise for the charity, you get to compete for free. So you know, unique things like that. Level Ground in Boston is another program that has popped up and is doing a lot of nonprofit. They've got their own location. Vector Jiu-Jitsu is a program down south that their graduation rate, I think, is 100% at a really at-risk school. So anybody finding ways to take this art that has changed so many of our lives and share that with others, that is what's really exciting to me, because that person that they share it with might be the person to start the next Polaris or the next Scramble or the next OTM. You know, we need to just make this a bigger pie. So anybody that's doing that, as opposed to just trying to carve it up and saying, I'm a Metamoris guy, or I'm a Polaris guy, or I like sub only, or fuck the gi, or like, screw all that. I just want it all to just increase and have jiu-jitsu just take over. So that's the type of stuff that I get really excited about.
Yeah, it's a pretty broad vision. I really admire that you can see the, yeah, this, it's vast. It's vast what can be achieved. I just, you know, someone once said to me, every world leader should be required to do some intense psychedelics before they take office. And I was just thinking now, every world leader should be required to have a blue belt before they take office. That would change a lot of stuff, man. That would change a lot of stuff.
So we kind of kick this off with, you know, my personality being very, you know, laid back and non-aggressive, and I'm probably the least like chest pumping masculine guy that you'll ever meet. But
didn't say least masculine. Yeah, my brother. So if people wanted to follow your work or support you, or is there any particular website or cause or something you'd like to point people towards?
So I've been kind of in a standstill with Open Mat Radio. The intention has always been to bring it back, and it will be coming back. Unfortunately, what happened is I had some really good interviews lined up, and you know, I was just having side effects. I literally live, just scheduling this, you know, we were talking day to day with side effects and stuff. So I had to cancel some shows, and it just really bummed me out, especially because they were really good people, like Aaron Hurley with Submit the Stigma, Felzinho out in New York at Marcello's, just really positive people that I want more attention on. So the attempt is, I'm kind of in a restructuring phase. I hope to bring back Open Mat Radio as the Open Mat Radio Network and having some correspondence and stuff. The journey, we've parked. I don't know. I've got a real hankering to come back and talk more about I've always tried to keep the jiu-jitsu stuff separate from my more spiritual journey stuff. So that may come back, or something like that may come back. And then I'm also working on a book, just kind of talking about the random things I've learned over the past 5 years and how I've turned suffering into opportunity and pain into a teacher, and hopefully share some of that stuff. Part of the reason that the shows have also been gone is just financially, it takes a lot to keep them going. And I've never tried to monetize the sites. So just some of that. And I did most of the editing myself. So, you know, if anyone wants to edit podcasts and do web work and stuff, hit me up. Facebook, Instagram is the easiest on either of the pages. I still manage the Journey podcast page. And Open Mat Radio on Facebook. For Instagram, use Paul Open Mat Radio. That's a mix of my personal ramblings and jiu-jitsu content. So the Instagram is kind of a mix of both. My private Facebook is just kind of for me, but there's the Open Mat Radio Facebook page, the Journey Facebook page. Both of those .coms are going to get revitalized whenever I can kind of get some time and money to throw at that. And if you want to, you know, pay for any of my chemo, by all means, paypal.me/openmatradio, I believe, is the donation site. I've never been comfortable taking donations, but at this point, I wouldn't turn them down. And I always try to send stuff. I've got some BJJ Inc. is working on some swag stuff that I'll be able to sell with the Just Another Line to Kill logo that Lisa Del Toro did. She's a tattoo artist out here in Vegas. And then Scramble was super, super kind. They helped pay for so much of my drugs and surgery, and just through the rash guard that they did. So I do have a few of those left. If you want to private message me, I don't have a set price. It's all by donation. I think they are on average going around $80.
That is a pretty cool rash guard. Let the record state, that is a pretty fucking cool rash guard. I was just in Africa recently, and I taught a guest class at my brother's academy, and there's a young guy there, a young black guy actually, who he's been given the nickname the Lion Killer, and I was wearing that rash guard when I taught the class, and he saw it, and I could just see his eyes lit up. And so at the end of the class, I gave it to him, So
I got another one for you then. I'll
thank you, my brother. Yeah, please do.
Yeah, so just a real quick thank you to Scramble and Nawaza, Gawakoto, Mirkatsu, 3150, OTM, all the brands that have supported me in the past, Jujutsu Brotherhood, of course. And the love that I've gotten from this community has been absolutely amazing. I try to pay it back as much as I can. But yeah, hit me up on social. Hopefully the shows will be coming back. I got some stickers and patches coming from BJJ Inc., like I said. So yeah, man, I'm just I'm so thankful for the community sticking by me. If you want to learn a little bit more about mindfulness and meditation and that stuff, follow my Instagram page and try to put stuff out every day. And I'm not trying to sell anything or hawk anything. And really, I'm not trying to tell anybody how to live. It's just this is the stuff that's worked for me. I've been fortunate that I've been placed in some situations that I've had to find some strength that maybe other people haven't been put in those situations. I've been lucky to find that strength. And if I can share that, I don't know how I could not. It's kind of, you look up the idea of Tonglen from Buddhism. It's kind of where I'm at right now. So, yeah, just trying to share the love.
Paul, my brother, thank you so much for sharing not only the love but the wisdom. And I look forward to seeing you stateside towards the end of the year. Blessings to you, my brother.
Always to you too, and my best to all the Jujutsu Brotherhood. Thank you for doing the podcast again. It's good to have you back on the mats a little bit more, my brother.
So when you listen to Paul's story, you can put your own struggles and difficulties into perspective. I'm not saying that any of us have had easy lives. Life is intrinsically filled with challenges and difficulties, but I just feel that that guy, he has got such an amazing attitude and he has had such a struggle. And the way he remains so positive and he just keeps going day after day is a lesson for us all. And if you're thinking about skipping training tonight or tomorrow because you're tired or, you know, you have a mild niggling injury, think about him and think about how much he'd give to just be healthy and training every day. He's a real inspiration to me. I really respect you, Paul. Thank you so much for coming on the show. So guys, just to let you know, we've got a huge sale happening now. Jiu-Jitsu Brotherhood is now 10 years old. It's amazing for me to even say that. I never thought that we'd get this far. But yeah, this is our 10-year anniversary and we're hosting our biggest sale ever. If you head over to store.jiu-jitsu-brotherhood.com between the 4th of July, which should be today, and the 12th of July, we are doing buy one, get one free on all of our digital products and buy one, get one half off on all our physical products. So for example, if you get a gi and you purchase a second one, that second one is half price. You can head over there and take advantage of that until the 12th of July. I hope you guys pick up some cool stuff. Until next time. Oh yeah, and by the way, next time looks like it's going to be Roger Gracie, which I'm sure is going to be a lot of fun. Until next time, I'll see you guys soon. Train smart.